Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey, and welcome to Breathing Room. Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. We are so grateful to be in your living room and in your car and in your phone and in whatever other device you're listening to this on. Merry Christmas. We are speaking to you from the United States. Is it Christmas at your house as well? How do you celebrate Christmas? God bless you. We're so glad you're here. I'm here with my very good friend and second in command. I'm here with Mariah Ballweber.
Hello.
So good to hear
so
from you. We want to hear from you. Who is listening
yes.
to us? We need to hear back from you.
Please.
Right now, would you subscribe to this podcast and would you write us a comment underneath wherever you're listening to this and let us know that you're listening? We have a special broadcast for you today. We are going to be talking about
St. Nicholas. Today. Merry Christmas, St. Nicholas.
Yes,
here we go.
Merry Christmas, St. Nicholas. He was a real guy.
He was.
Was he a real guy?
He was a real guy.
Yeah.
He was an extraordinary man. Extraordinary. And I think everybody needs to know who he was because we, our kids, our families, we all need to know who this revivalist was.
He was a revivalist.
He was totally a revivalist.
Okay. He was a kingdom person.
Totally radical.
He was the carrier of another world.
Totally radical. So I don't even know where to start on him.
Let's get started with him. When did he live?
He lived in the 200s and 300s. He was born in about 280 in Turkey, Asia Minor area. It was a time in the Roman Empire that there were actually four different leaders, four different emperors ruling. It was a bit chaotic at this time. The empire was huge. And there was one guy, Diocletian, who kind of separated everything out.
Ooh, Diocletian was not a good guy.
He really wasn't. There's a lot of history recorded about him and a lot of really horrible things that he did to Christians. But one of the main things that we need to talk about briefly here is that Diocletian started a persecution regarding Christians when Nicholas was about 23 years old. The emperors issued a series of edicts rescinding Christians' legal rights and demanding that they comply with traditional religious practices. So Christians just kind of came under a lot of pressure, which I think is part of why Nicholas is very legendary in history, is because he was like, I'm not going to comply. I'm going to be bold and I'm going to just pursue the Lord.
Now, traditional religious practices to Diocletian means what?
Paganism.
So they're like, you're going to be a pagan with us,
right.
or we're going to kill you,
yeah.
basically.
That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And the movement was not very old. We're talking 200 or 300s here.
Yeah.
It wasn't very old. So it was still it wasn't fledgling because it was rooting in the earth and it was what God Almighty was doing. And yet there wasn't a whole lot of history to point to.
No, it was a crazy time. In fact, can you actually tell us briefly about what the church was like at this time?
Well, here's the thing about the church at this time. It's very unlike what you think it is. When you think about church now and we go into church and if you're in a more liturgical church and it's very quiet and people are very controlled and they sit and they stand and they say the right thing.
Turn around and shake
but that was not the early church.
Mm-mm.
That was not the early church. As a matter of fact, when I read a book called Messianic Church Arising by Robert Heidler, he talks about the fact that if you came into a church service in those days, you would think you were at a party.
Oh my gosh.
Would not believe, if we could transport you in time back from your church to that church, you would think this has to be a bar or a party because it was loud.
It was wild.
People were dancing and they were crying out and they were singing before the Lord and they were using instruments, whatever they could get a hold of, to worship this living God. It was amazing. And then he said that they would hesitate in at some point in the service, and the presence of God, the tangible presence of God, would begin to fall, and there was a hush that would take over the room, and miracles would start to happen in that room every time they got together.
So what you're saying is what were they centering around? Was it the word, or was it, what were they
centering around? They were centering around not the sermon that was being preached, but around the living, breathing, active, engaged presence of the living God. It was radical. It was church. Like, I don't know if you've experienced unless you've come to a Breathe retreat. I'm sorry. It's just true.
Really?
That's what we're trying to do in a Breathe retreat, is to create a space for that active, pulsing, breathing presence of God to have his way in that place. So that's how church was when Nicholas was coming up.
Yeah. So church was a radical thing. So when Diocletian rescinded the rites and the legal rites of the Christians, I mean, they weren't like a quiet bunch of people.
No.
This was a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happened with Nicholas? Well, let me tell you some crazy stories. Whenever he was young, we don't know exactly how old he was. Remember, this is around the 300s. So history is a little obscure. But whenever he was young, he came across this woman with a withered hand, and he went up to her, and some stories say he was a child when this happened, so he was radical from the start, and he laid hands on this woman with the withered hand, and her hand was healed instantly by this little boy. The power of God coming through his life was incredible. As he got older, he got more and more radical. If that's not radical enough, just wait. Okay. He would go from town to town. And at one point he came across this town that there was huge demonic oppression in this town. And it was kind of centered around a certain area. So he went there and just cast those demons out of the town. And the town was instantly freed from this demonic oppression because he knew who he was in Jesus. It reminds me of, you know, the story in Acts 3. Yeah, Joe at the beautiful gate, right?
That is an Acts. Where is it, people? I think it is Acts 3. Early in Acts,
yes.
3 or 5. Yeah.
But the reason why I bring that up.
Look at it.
Okay, is because whenever Peter and John come up to the gate, the beautiful gate at the temple, they're going up for the hour of prayer, and there's this man who we've named Joe, in case
because
you didn't know.
He doesn't have a name. Everyone needs a name.
Joe Beautiful, because he's at the beautiful gate. So there you go. But he's begging alms. He's asking them for money. And Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you." What I have. So here's the thing.
They had it.
I think one of the keys to miracles, one is whatever he says to you, do it. Two is knowing what you have. That you have the power of God, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. You have that power inside of you. What I have, I give to you. That's exactly what St. Nicholas functioned in every day. This is daily living. This is daily Christian living, people. Normal. This is normal.
Remember, these are the family stories. When you read stories in the book of Acts and when you hear stories about St. Nicholas, he was just a believer, like you're a believer. These are the family stories. These are the things that the family does.
In fact, even his title, St. Nicholas,
right?
Even that title, unfortunately, there's been quite a bit of religion kind of wrapped around that. But what's so fun is if you're a believer in Jesus, you are a saint.
That is
who you are. It's innate to your being.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say I'm here with Saint Sandy and she's here with Saint Mariah and we're listening to Saint your name. That's totally accurate and biblical to say that's who we are.
Yes.
So
it is in Acts 3.
It's in Acts 3. Okay. So Joe Beautiful, Acts 3, beautiful gate. This guy gets totally healed. He had been known as the man who sat at the beautiful gate and he got radically healed. So I just wanted to remind you of knowing what we have in our identity in Christ. That's one of the keys to miracles. So more miracles happened in St. Nicholas's life. Whenever he was really young, he lost his parents, which is so sad, but they left him this great inheritance. So he was a wealthy man because the blessing of the Lord makes us rich, right?
And he adds no sorrow to
That's exactly right. And Nick was so generous. One of the stories about him is there was this family, this father who had three daughters, and he had no dowries for them, which was a big deal at that time. So he couldn't marry them off, okay? And so what he was going to have to do was sell them into servitude. And some stories say that it was going to be really bad for these girls.
Well, some stories say that he was going to have to sell them into prostitution.
Right. So he was just mourning this. He was like, these are his daughters. What are you going to do?
Well, and in those times, if you didn't have a dowry for your daughters, they could not marry well.
Which sounds strange, but it was a covenant thing. Our culture is not, we don't function like that anymore, but it sounds like he was selling them to a man or something, but that's not what it was. It was a covenant act. But anyway, so he didn't have money for the dowries. He was very sad about this. Well, Nicholas heard about this. And what he did was he would throw money into their house through the chimney. This is what the stories say. And one night he went up on the rooftop, dropped a bag of golden coins into the chimney and then left. So that freed the first girl. And then the next night he came and did the same thing. He did this three times to free these three daughters and set their family up so that they wouldn't have to be sold into servitude. And it totally saved this family from sorrow and destruction.
Well, because in that day also, property and any kind of inheritance passed from father to son.
Yeah.
So if you have nothing but daughters and they don't get married, they, when you die as a father, they are destitute.
Yeah.
Because they have no ways of making money in that day. Yeah. Right? Other than prostitution.
Yeah.
Or slavery of some sort. So
he saved this family because he was just so generous.
Yeah.
And there's other accounts of him just walking up and down the streets of his town, and he would throw bags of money into people's windows. And sometimes they would land in stockings where people were hanging their socks up on the mantle by the fireplace. And so he would throw them in there and they would land in there, which is where we get that tradition. That was not anything to do with really with Christmas at all. It was this man who was incredibly generous and wanted to save people and help them out. So another miracle story with Saint Nicholas is there were these children who had been massacred. It was a really, really horrible moment. And it was two or three children, different accounts have different numbers. And he came up to this town and these kids got resurrected by the power of Jesus Christ.
And they had been dead for a while.
It was really bad. And it was just amazing. People started to know him as Nicholas the Wonder Worker. Don't you want to be known as a wonder worker?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be known as a wonder worker.
That's our inheritance.
It is.
That's exactly why we are right here on the earth, is to work wonders in his name.
Yeah. Here's the thing. What I don't want to happen is I don't want to get to heaven and then discover, oh my gosh, Lord, that was possible in mm-hmm. my life on earth.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been doing that.
Look at what I missed.
I know in heaven, obviously, I'm not going to know everything while I'm here on earth, but I want to know and function in as much Holy Spirit power as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
On earth. I don't want to get there and think, man, I missed out on that.
And no matter what your doctrinal bent is, beloved listener, you want that too.
Yeah, you do.
It's in your DNA. When you got saved, if you're not saved, we're going to take care of that in a few minutes. But when you get saved, it is in your DNA to bring heaven to the earth, to be a conduit of heaven to the earth. So when there are kids slaughtered in his town, brutally slaughtered in his town, he came and brought the resurrection power of God to those kids, and they were raised up and basically reassembled.
Yeah.
And lived a normal life after that.
That's exactly
that is
right.
What kingdom people do. We're not moved by the circumstances of the moment, are we?
Mm-mm. No,
we're not moved by the restrictions. We're not moved by what seems impossible. We are the everything is possible to us who believe. We believe that. That's in our DNA, in the spirit. Right? This is resonating with you right now.
Yeah.
Let's take a break just for a moment for our sponsor, and we will be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barndominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110 or visit us on the web at gregjamesdesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Hey, welcome back to Breathing Room. This is Sandy James, and I'm here with my very beloved friend, Mariah Bolivar.
Hello.
And we are giving you a history lesson this Christmas Day. Merry Christmas, sweet, sweet listener. Merry, Merry Christmas to you. I hope it is a good day for you. We're learning about St. Nicholas. So what else do we know about him?
Well, just to recap what's been happening, super generous man, radical revivalist.
Nicholas the Wonder Worker.
Freedom fighter, Nicholas the Wonder Worker. That's exactly right. That's who that's what we want to be. We want to be Wonder Workers.
That became his nickname.
I just think that's the most fun thing. And at this time when Christians' rights are kind of being crushed under this tyrannical government, he wasn't having it.
Nope.
He just wasn't having it. He was like, I'm just going to do miracles. I don't know about you guys, but in case you got a dead person around, let me add him. We can just raise him up. Come on. Mm-hmm. And he would just go and do this. One story about him. At one time he went to Israel. So he traveled on the Mediterranean Sea to Israel, and there was this storm that rolled in. And it was dark and it was violent. The sailors were scared, which is telling you something. Sailors aren't really scared. I mean, that's their job, right? Yeah. They're sailors. They sail on the sea. There's storms, rough waters, all of that. Well, they were scared. That's how bad the storm was. Well, he came up on the deck of the ship and just spoke to that thing and told that storm to calm down. And instantly the storm calmed and the waters were still. And it was peaceful sailing.
Someone else has done that in history as well.
Who did that?
That's a pop quiz right there. You can tell we're both teachers. We're giving you a pop quiz. Who else did that on a boat in a storm? You're right. Jesus did that on a boat in the storm. Remember when the disciples came down and he was sleeping on a he was so chill.
He was so chill.
That he was sleeping. On a stern in the back of the on a pillow in the back of the boat, right? And they woke him and they said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" Crazy question. And he woke up, stretched, rebuked that storm, and then rebuked his disciples for their small faith. Nicholas did the same thing. Why? Because the same Jesus that still the first storm was living in Nicholas on that day.
That's exactly
and
right.
Lives in you and me, by the way.
And what did Jesus say? Greater works shall you do.
Greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Well, did he go?
Mm-hmm.
He went.
Yeah.
So
here
that
we are.
Means we have access to the greater works, don't we?
That's exactly
that's
right.
That's so good.
So what can we do? In the power of Jesus Christ, we can calm storms.
Mm-hmm.
We can raise the dead.
No matter what storm you're looking at.
We can be extraordinarily generous.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have that. We have access to heaven
mm-hmm.
right now, open heaven above us. And Nicholas knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived totally, that was totally normal for him.
He lived his life in defiance.
Yeah.
Of limitation and impossibility and death.
Yeah, that's true. There was a time when he was imprisoned. I mean, I wonder why. You know, he's causing a bit of a ruckus. Rights have been rescinded. He's like, I ain't playing. I'm just going to go do some miracles. So he was actually imprisoned. He was freed from prison. Praise God. And in fact, Emperor Constantine was in power at this time and he freed him. And through Constantine, there were a lot of the rights of those Christians were restored. And then Constantine began to recognize the impact of Christianity on culture. And so he called a meeting called the Council of Nicaea. And it was a gathering of a bunch of different Christian leaders at the time, and they talked about lots of different things there. They decided different things, doctrinal issues. Well, at one time, Nicholas was at one of these council meetings, and there was this man, this heretic who was there that no one knew he was a heretic until he said this, but he claimed that Jesus was not part of the Trinity, And Nicholas was so upset by this because he knew that was not true. He knew who Jesus was. He knew he's been raising people from the dead through his life. Like, this is not, we don't mess with that doctrine. And so he got up in the middle of this meeting and hit this guy. And then everybody was like, okay, he's a little bit of a loose cannon here. I love it though, because he was so bold and so passionate about the truth. He wasn't going to stand for even a comment that would dethrone Jesus, because we can't do that. We can't stand for even a comment, right? I'm learning that in my life right now. We're living in a time where, you know, in a time where the enemy is always trying to take freedom away. He just is. That's what he does. And so we want to be freedom fighters. We want to stand up for who we are in Christ. We want to stand up for the rights that we're given by God and stand up for the truth. And I just love that Saint Nicholas was so bold that he just got up in the middle of this, you know, I'm sure it was a very
dignified
and dignified meeting. Yeah. You know,
everybody wore their best
crossed
robe,
their hand, right, yeah, exactly. They've got their papers.
It's the Council of Nicaea.
Paper clips. The emperor invited everybody. You know, I mean, right, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
and he just gets up there and slaps this guy. Like, listen, are you serious right now?
We're not advocating slapping anybody.
No, please,
but don't. There is a passion involved in that we have lost to a great, because we're so afraid,
right,
of making anybody offended, anybody anywhere. Yeah. At the taping of this podcast,
yeah,
the election still has not been decided in the earth, but it has been decided, yeah, in heaven.
Yes, it has.
And there are some of us that are standing, there are a lot of us. If you're there, raise your hand. There is a lot of us that are standing and proclaiming the word of the Lord over this election. The corruption will not stand and be rewarded in our midst. Oh, no, no. God will have his way and his word will come to pass. It's the same spirit. It, mm-hmm, is the same spirit.
That's exactly
as
right.
Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
No, we don't.
So really, I would have stood with Nicholas that day and said, it's all right, brother. Listen. The problem is not the guy over there, but the deceiving spirit that's speaking to that guy. So let's deal with that. But I completely get him.
Yeah.
I completely get the fact that, no, you will not defy the truth of the living God. Not in my midst, mm-mm, not on my watch, you're not.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. No.
No, and I will stand toe-to-toe with you and struggle until the word of the Lord is brought to pass, because it will not return void.
No,
that is what he believed. That is how he lived.
Yeah, that's true. He was a rock.
Yeah.
There was no compromise. He knew who he was. He knew that the kingdom of God was at hand.
Right.
And he lived just normal. That was normal.
And it wasn't good enough to say, oh, somebody else will do that.
Yeah, no.
Because if I'm alive and breathing right now, I'm the one who's to do that.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. Who are we called to be like? We're called to be like Jesus. We're one new man, right?
Right.
And Jesus, he wrecked every funeral he went to, right?
It's true.
He was like that. It's sorry, Lazarus. It just wasn't your time, man. Get up. Come on. Let's go. There's still work to do. He healed people left and right. The kingdom of God, heaven was so accessible. But it's not just because, oh, you know, he's Jesus. So he's special, right?
Right. Because this is Nicholas.
This is Nicholas.
He's just a man.
He's just a man who knows who he is.
Right.
And he hears the word of the Lord and he does it.
And is living his life under the open portal. Because there is no breakdown between us and heaven.
Right.
Because sin has been removed by the cross of Jesus. Which is why we need to talk to you today.
Yes.
Because if you do not know Jesus, this is your time. I don't know
this
what you're waiting
moment.
For, but today is your day. Listen to me. Shame has been removed from you.
Yes.
Completely removed from you. Do you know how I know that? I know that because Jesus took all of your shame.
Yes.
He bore all of your shame on that cross. There's no more for you.
Mm-hmm.
that gift, the gift of salvation, has already been given to you, like a Christmas present. But if I was giving you a Christmas present, beloved, listen, if I sat here and I bought the most expensive gift I could ever afford for you, and I held it out to you, it would be yours. Your name is on the tag, but you have got to reach out and take it from me. I'm not trying to keep it from you. I'm trying to get it to you. Yes, I'm trying to get it to you.
Yes.
That is what it is with salvation. The Lord wants to give it to you. You have to receive it. You have to stretch out your hand and go, I'll take that. Thank you.
Yes.
That's it. That is it. We're going to pray together. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Mariah is going to follow. You're going to follow Mariah. You are going to pray with her. And we are going to get your eternity settled right now.
Yes.
So that you will be one of the ones who has access to everything in heaven.
Yes. Wonder workers.
Yeah, wonder workers. That's you. We need to get you redeemed. We need to get you saved. That's already been done, but we need to receive it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put it off. All the power of heaven is available to you, but only if you make covenant with him in this prayer right now. Okay, so I'm going to lead you in prayer because it's easier to do that and do it that way, but you can pray whatever you want to pray. It would just be good for you to follow us right now. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe. That you died on the cross for me.
That when you died on the cross.
You took all my sin.
You took all my shame.
You took all the scum on my soul.
And you cleansed me.
If I would only receive it. So I receive it now.
In the name of Jesus.
I make covenant with the Lord. In the blood of Jesus.
That was shed for my cleansing.
I am clean.
Because Jesus made me clean.
I am whole. Because Jesus made me whole. I enter into covenant with you right now. And I leave my old life. And turn my face to the Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just receive life for you right now.
Yes.
I release the power of God on you right now. The Holy Spirit comes to fill you right now. In the name of Jesus. Beloved, we love you.
We want to help you.
At Breathe Retreat, we want to assist you. We have resources for you, but you have to reach out and receive them from us. You have to let us know that you need them and want them. So contact us on the website that you'll see in the show notes, that you'll see below this podcast. We want to help you. By the way, Breathe is coming up on April 24th.
It's
yes, in 2021, we've got it already scheduled. April 24th in Oklahoma City.
4 months.
4 months away from right now.
Four months and three days.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Merry Christmas, everybody. We want to see you. We want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on in your life. Let us know. We love you. God bless you. See you next week.
Bye. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.